Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
What's up, Welcome to the Fight Mixer. All my bros and hoes in different area codes. Happy Thursday, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Sucks.
What do you mean it sucks? What's wrong with you?
It's all good in my hood.
Who pisses in your cereal, sir?
That would be nobody. Nobody pisses in my cereal.
It's the Fight Mixer, baby. We got to be in a good mood. We got some great guests coming on tonight.
We do. We got Joe, the Hitman, coming on. He's actually in the green room right now. So with no further ado, let's bring him in.
Yo.
Yo,
Joe.
Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
What's going on? Okay, awesome. Sorry, I had to go out to my truck. I'm out in the middle of the country, and I had to get the Wi-Fi on my vehicle just to be able to hook up. That was rough.
Yo, what's been going on with you, man? How's the weather back there?
Well, I just drove from Atlanta to Memphis today.
I'm sorry.
It's feeling good, man.
It's a long drive.
Yeah, dude, I've been on the road for the last couple weeks, man. Every weekend for the last 4 weeks, I went somewhere. I went down to do street beefs last week and carried on. Nice. One of the kids I train, he has cerebral palsy named Jesse, and we have a I Can Everything movement. And he's a kid that says nobody can say I can't. You have to say I can. And we took him for a cerebral palsy boxing match, a wheelchair boxing match, and let him compete last weekend. So I stay on the road.
How you doing, man?
I'm going to toe the line next weekend to watch Will Choke. Fight for his comeback fight.
Very cool, man. Very cool. And you're gonna be cornering him, right?
Daniel Gray is one of my teammates at X3 Sports. He's gonna be cornering him. I'm gonna be cornering Harrison. So I've got one of my buddies that I train with at Manu's camp, at Madhouse with Manu. I'm going to corner him. One of my sponsors is taking us down there. My teammate Daniel is real good friends with Will Chope, and he's going to be cornering Will. So we're just going to go down there and enjoy the weekend down in Plant City and watch Toe the Line.
God damn that!
Nice. Let me see if I can get this Wi-Fi to go in the house so y'all can get a better view, because I'm a. Let me see if I can get this.
Well, you're looking better since the fight.
You got to talk about that fight, man. Big, big decision win. I mean, you got to talk about it in great detail because that was a war.
There we go. Yeah, my Wi-Fi is picking up. I've got a little bit better reception in here.
The man himself. Now I can see your face. You're looking
like a lot better. You're definitely looking better since the fight.
Oh, yeah, man. I heal pretty fast, man. People at my gym call me Wolverine for, you know what I mean?
I got you. Exactly. Yeah, you look like a raccoon the last time I seen you.
Yeah, well.
The last time I actually saw your fight was September 11th, and it went to a decision. How you feeling after that fight?
Man, dude, wonderful, man. My knuckle's still a little swole. There's no breaks in it. But man, I swing power with every shot. So I mean, I'm gonna have sore knuckles with this thing. But no breaks. This the nerve damage in my face has been there since I fought God, what's his name? In MMA, I broke his leg. God, I can't remember for Legacy. I had a fight against a knockout artist, and he kind of killed the nerve in my face. Some of that stuff got reignited on this side. I look like Adrian from Rocker when I'm when Rocky says Adrian.
Yo, Adrian.
I'm good, dude. I've got a sponsor that actually drew some blood plasma from me. They're going to do PRPs and stem cells on my face to try to regrow the collagen so I don't split open every time. And I'm going to heal fast, dude. I'll be back ready to fight again in January.
You're a bad motherfucker. You know, going from MMA, you're a Bellator veteran, and then you go into bare-knuckle boxing, and you're whipping it up over there. I mean, can you – because there's a lot of misconceptions, especially when I first got introduced to bare-knuckle boxing. Like, would you say that it's more dangerous, less dangerous? Like, what are the comparisons from mixed martial arts to bare-knuckle fighting?
Well, okay, so first off, it is bare-knuckle fighting. I have to remember to not say bare-knuckle boxing because David Feldman and whatever they did with the rules with bare-knuckle fighting has we're allowed to clinch. I can reach one of my arms throw an underhook and grab his other arm and pound him in the face. BKB, which is bare-knuckle boxing, you can't clinch, can't tie up. There's no dirty boxing. You know, honestly, man, I'm a world-class grappler too, but I like to fight, man. So bare-knuckle fighting for me has just given me the opportunity to go in there, and I can throw power with every shot and not have to worry about getting taken down. If a guy's taller than me, I can work in, get in on a clinch, and I got shorter arms. I mean, I love it, man. Dude, I think it was built for me, dude. Plus, if y'all see, I can hit you at the same time. I think we both threw a right hand. I dropped in my first right hand. That was the one he split me open with. I don't go down. I've never been dropped. 40 pro fights in MMA. I got one TKO against a guy who slammed me on my neck, which was early stoppage, but I've never been hit or kicked in the face and dropped. So they're going to have a hard time, bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle is that one sport that always makes me nervous.
I've lost y'all's audio. I can't hear y'all at all for some reason.
Wait, you can't hear me?
I got y'all on full volume. Y'all went out.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Not at all.
All right, let me kick you out, and then we'll drop you back in.
Yeah, I want to ask him about fundamental differences. There he is. Do you hear us now?
Lightly. It's weird. The volume went out on y'all.
It's fucking weird. So I scream. You want me to scream, sir? No. Oh.
All right, I removed him. Let's see if he can pop back in, get his audio.
The technical difficulties continue. Matt, what the fuck are you doing over there, man?
I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing, obviously.
What's going on over there in Kansas? No, you're back in Florida.
Nope, I'm in Florida.
Audio.
Fucking hate Kansas.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Got audio on you guys now.
All right.
All right, perfect. So going back to what I was saying, and, like, I watch, like, a bare-knuckle fight, and it's so, you know, it seems like there's no room for error, especially because there's no gloves. You know, there's, you know, the advantage to the fighter is, you know, it could be a one punch knockout at any time. I mean, there's plenty more power behind every single shot, but, like, it leaves no room for error. I mean, the wrong defensive move and it could be lights out. I mean, it just seems like it's so fucking dangerous, and it's so, you know, it's exciting, but for the fighter, I mean, it just seems to, you know, that one shot knockout or that put somebody's lights out. I mean, it's a scary sport. I mean, do you have any reservations, like, transferring from MMA to bare knuckle?
Nah, man. Look, dude. look what Masvidal did with the flying knee, dude. I ain't got to worry about no elbows to the face. I ain't got to worry about no knees to the face. I ain't got to worry about a 6'4" guy like Will Chope or a 6'1" guy with a 7-inch reach. Being able to, when I throw my overhand right, throw a swift knee to my face, I can duck down, throw overhands, drop bombs. Like I said, for me, I don't get knocked out. I don't know what I'm made of, man. I've been hitting the head. I got to fight in high school, man. I'm from a redneck city of Dyersburg. I got hit in the face with a baseball bat. And the fucking dude dropped the bat when it hit me in the forehead, and I took the bat and whipped his ass. I'm not with the bat. I took the bat and just whipped his ass, threw the bat behind me.
I've never been knocked out. I don't know. I can't explain it. There's a guy, Stan Lee. Y'all ever watch the Superhuman where he does Stan Lee? And I've got a centimeter, literally my skull when I do my exercise is a centimeter thicker than most humans. And that's not a whole lot, but I believe that's why I cut, man. Like Nate Diaz, I don't feel nothing to my brain. So for me, I'm never scared of a fight. My face looked like that because I was headbutting his hand, trying to break his hand and land power shot. That's why I was able to drop him. Some guys don't have jaws like that. For me personally, I don't ever have a fear of being knocked out, so I don't care. It's stitches. There's no brain damage. In boxing, you got those gloves on, and guys can swing and hit as hard as they can. You have to be careful and more precise also. Like, I mean, I throw bombs and I don't care what might happen to my hands because I got big ass knuckles. But a lot of guys, man, have to be careful. They can't throw 100% power shots because they hit me in this forehead right here. It breaks their hands, you know? So I believe it's less brain damage. I mean, it's been 2 weeks. There was nothing but scars. I haven't had any headaches. I don't have any knee injuries. I don't have to worry about my ACL tearing. I love it, dude. It seems more violent because of the blood, but I believe the longevity of fighters is going to last longer in this sport than in MMA. Isaac Valley Flag, he's a wonderful fighter, man, but he ain't going to go back to the UFC right now because his knees, his joints, but he can have a career, and there could be a superstar in the UFC right now that can come bare knuckle box, and we all knock him out.
Yeah, and that's a fighting veteran and somebody that's been in the game for quite some time. When do you think that BKFC will evolve where it goes to full value to the rules, like back in like Brazil and back in the old days of the UFC? Like, when do you think that's going to be the evolution of BKFC where it goes to full value to the rules with MMA with bare knuckle, or do you think it's going to stay to where it's at and just go with what works?
I think somebody's going to try to steal something and turn it into that, but it's too much, man. We ain't going to be able to go to Valley Tudo. It will kill people, man. Like, if I throw a spike elbow on the dude, like when I dropped Tom Schoaf, if it goes to full Valley Tudo rules, I'd have dropped him in the first round and went head stomped him and then spike elbowed him in the face and killed him. They're not going to let that stuff happen, dude. Bare knuckle boxing, we can beat the shit out of each other. There's blood. It's like it seems violent, but it's really not. It has the ability to make it, you know, like my grandma came and watched me fight. If she sees me out here spike elbowing somebody, stomping somebody's face like a high school kid that somebody talked about his sister, that's not going to make it. I love fighting. Whenever I was a black belt in Taekwondo when I was 14 years old, I'm 37, man. So I've been fighting for a long time. I had 120 karate fights. I won my first Tough Man contest like in 1999, Gold Gloves 1997. I grew up watching no weight classes, Chemo versus Hoist Gracie. Headbutts and dick kicks were legal. The only thing you couldn't do was eye gouging. I've actually done a pancration fight here in America for Sammy Collinwood, my corner that's in BKFC. And we agreed before the fight, no headbutts, no dick kicks, because in pancration, that's still legal. So they are, they're going to have stuff like that. But I don't think it's I don't think the sponsorships, the big level money is going to be able to take it that far. I think bare knuckle and what David Feldman did is like the perfect recipe for enough blood and violence to keep people satisfied, to draw a big audience, especially considering what UFC did when they went on Spike TV 10 years ago and brought it to mainstream with Brock Lesnar. And now BKFC is bringing mainstream people in, like, we got girls getting $3 million to come and fight that should be supermodeling. And I mean, they're doing the right things, man, to make this sport last forever, the perfect amount of rules to kill it, if you ask me, man.
Yeah. And,
Hey, we got a question from a caller, Brandon. Would you like to ask Joe a question?
What's going on, Brandon? Hell on wheels, my brother, dude. That's a hell of a fighter right there, man, in a wheelchair. What's up, bro?
All right, did you hear that?
I think we can hear it, brother.
What's his question?
You couldn't hear it?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't get you in. What was your question? You wanted to know what he likes better about UFC or about BKFC versus MMA. Thanks for your question.
Good question.
For me, is it's a fight, man. You know, like GSP, he's one of the greatest fighters in the world in UFC. But people get bored when GSP fights sometimes, and they'll start booing, even though he's winning, he's talented, he's one of the best in the world, he's a GOAT. You can't do that in BKFC. If people want to see a fight, which y'all will hear me say this in almost every interview, there's some people that are born to fucking fight. There's people that are born to be like, protect a village. We live in this planet with technology, and I'm a born fighter, man. I enjoy getting hit in the face. There's other guys that literally learn to fight. They're martial artists. I'm a born fighter that learned the martial arts. You can't teach a born a fighter or a martial artist to be a born fighter. I don't care how long you teach them. BKFC is a place where fighters have to fight. I can throw every ounce of power I got, and you're not going to take me down and hug me. You can't take me into a corner because you're tired and squeeze me against the cage. The referee's going to break us apart, and they're going to make us do what? Fight. In the UFC, which I respect it because I love UFC. I might fight again there too, man. I'm a world-class grappler, a Muay Thai artist, a boxer. But I enjoy the fight. I enjoy the entertainment. And I think BKFC just gives me the opportunity to be able to do that. Whereas I can go to the UFC and there could be a 10-time Olympic national world champion grappler that can hug me for 15 minutes and beat me without throwing one punch. And you can't do that in the BKFC. You have to fight.
And shout out to Debbie, by the way. Love you too, Debbie. So going back to somebody actually asked this question, when's your next fight in Florida? But Here's a question in general. I mean, you have back-to-back wins in BKFC. When's the next time you're going to fight? Has David Bellman already given the nod, or what's going on with that for your next fight?
There was an opportunity to fight in November. There was an opportunity to fight, like I said, my hands. Because I believe I'm going to be the 165 champion for BKFC. I'm 100% sure. I'm putting everything I got. I got medical sponsorships. I got people investing in me to fully train 24 hours a day. As soon as I'm fully healthy and I can train with 30 days, I'll take a fight. I'm waiting on January. I called out Leonard Garcia. Possibly they've signed Dave the Caveman Rickles. I don't know if he's wanting to fight 170 or 165 or what, but he had given me a nod because BKFC had posted something about who wants to fight Joe. So I'm looking for big money, big name fights. They're trying to do a little tournament. So I called out Leonard Garcia. I think that's one for the fans. It's either going to be a knockout. I'm either going to knock him out or we're going to have another bloodbath by the night. Dave the K-Man Rickles, he's talented from Bellator. We'd be a great 165, title fight. I'm waiting for, Scott Burr announced today that the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame is going to come out with the official rankings. So we should see whether I'm in the top five or not on that end. So I'm waiting for all that, man. And as soon as I get all those answers and see where their mindset is, I mean, they're letting me do what I do. I've already knocked out two UFC veterans. Will Chope had 119 fights. It's never been finished by knockout in the first round. Max Holloway didn't finish him but by TKO. Until the third round. I'm the first person to ever knock him down like that. So, yeah, like I said, I'm just going to wait on that, man. And they've given me the okay to fight whoever I want, told me to call out who I want. I'm just waiting on people to respond. I'll fight anybody, dude, from 165 to 175. Just whatever they want to.
And from a talent standpoint, yeah. And from a talent standpoint, Dave Bellman's doing all the right things. Like, he was on the podcast and he was talking about throwing millions to bring in Mike Tyson, and he wasn't able to get the deal done. Mike Tyson was like, a little bit on the fence. But he also brought in like Paige Van Zandt and like brought in all these big names, brought in you, like brought you in from MMA. Like, well, what big names do you want to see coming to BKFC?
I'd like Nate Diaz. I'd like Masvidal. You know, I wish Kimbo Slice was still alive. That's just like a dream thing. Mm-hmm. This is like his fucking God, man. Rest in peace, dude. That man,
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, like that's, you know, I grew up on shit like that, dude. They asked me like, oh, you got experience, it's your second bare knuckle. I'm like, no, excuse my language. I'm going to say, no, bitch, but I've been doing this shit since I was a teenager. We used to get a keg in the backyard and charge $5. You get a cup, a red solo cup and a keg and come in the backyard. And we had camcorders recording it in Dyersburg, Tennessee, in the backyard, throwing our own bare knuckle fights. And we were watching Kimbo's Life and George Masvidal and guys like that do that. We were doing the same thing. We'd bet money and make videos and that was before YouTube and all that stuff. So for me, bare knuckle brought back fighting for me, man. I want guys like that don't mind getting their face peeled off. And just like what was it, the baddest motherfucker alive, man, Nate Diaz wanted to cry when they stopped that fight for his cut across his face. And there was a time in the fourth round, if y'all go look and watch my fight, that referee was like, man, we're gonna stop this fight. Dude, I went and I looked at him like this, and I said, don't you fucking steal this fight from me. I'm winning this fight. Who cares, man? I'm like, you're the only one concerned about my face. I'm fine. And that referee, the referee looked at me, the doctor, not the referee, the doctor. He looked at me and said, are you all right, man? And I said, dude, I'm fucking fine. I promise. And that's when I held my hands up in the air. And he said, you got one more chance. Don't get hit in the face. And that's when I went to that iron tight guard, dude. I put my right hand over my face, and I fired it and pulled it back. And I got the drops and the knockdowns, and I went from I kind of resisted in the third round. I got worried they were going to stop the fight, let them beat my ass. But by that fourth round, that's when I went Terminator. When they stopped that fight that last time, I was like, you know what? I got to cover my eye up and split my hand. And I was holding my hand over my eye and just going for glory.
You know what's crazy, man? Like, I hear such a similar story from every single fighter. Where, like, I used to, like, back in eighth grade, I bought weightlifting gloves. Like, I saw UFC, and I bought these weightlifting gloves, went down the soccer field, like, in Emerson, and he used to just hammer it out. He used to just fucking, like, just duke it out. Like, fucking bare knuckle, fucking kick each other's asses. Like, yo, dude, that was, like, every single fighter's story started off with just a fucking staged fucking fight club somewhere.
Yeah, and that didn't help, too, because I'm Fight Club era. And the only rule in Fight Club is nobody talks about Fight Club except for on my – dude, if we'd had Facebook back in the day, holy shit. Man, we'd have been in trouble because we had more people show up back then before they had this. Now you can't hardly get nobody to show up because everybody's got too much political shit.
Yeah, I'm so glad there weren't, like, camera phones back in the day and fucking camcorders weren't, like, widely spread because Dyfus would have been at our houses and fucking, like, we would have gotten shot.
That's what I meant because the parents would have been faking some accounts and monitoring that shit. We could keep it secret. 100 people could show up out in the country. We could drink beer and kick ass and 21, you know.
Yeah, man. Crazy, so you said you went down to watch some street beefs. What do you think of that whole aspect of it?
I love them, dude. People can talk shit, but they don't allow blood. So even though they don't do certain things that the commissions have, they've got a kid who's 11-1 that has autism. The state won't let that kid fight. Jesse trains every single day. He has cerebral palsy. Jesse Icahn Sparkman. ICanSparkman.com. If y'all want to check me out on Instagram and on Facebook, by the way, please donate. We're trying to get Jesse a sports wheelchair. Chris Wilmore is actually going to buy the sports wheelchair for him on the 23rd of this month. I was going to announce it then. And so all the money that I have on the GoFundMe for Jesse is actually going to be so he can train with Floyd Mayweather down in Vegas. We're going to carry him down there. Wow. Without those guys, dude, those people tell that kid with cerebral palsy that he can't, man. Why can't a man in a wheelchair that has cerebral palsy that wants to box do exactly what men do? They're taking his manhood away. And Chris Wilmore just gives people an opportunity to express their manhood no matter what it is. And from what I've seen when I was down there, they do it in a way that protects them too, man. They were, as soon as there was blood, they would stop the fight. They couldn't stop the blood. The fight was over, and I mean, it sucked, but it was what they have to do to keep it safe and allow the event to happen the way they allow it to happen. And I mean, even my guy, man, it was his first fight. He's got 57,000 views with a head kick knockout.
that he got, and we all hung out afterwards, family environment. It was wonderful, dude. I've seen a lot of comments, and I was wondering what would go on when I got there, but it was such a beautiful thing. And I've actually talked to Nate Shook. He's the matchmaker. He's doing Toe the Line, and we're talking about doing an event together. So me, Chris Wilmore, Nate Shook, maybe even David Filman. I haven't talked to him yet, but Nate Shook messaged me and wants me to get him in contact. And I've talked to West Coast Street Beefs. They have the West Coast Street Beefs. I've talked to their matchmaker. And we're talking about doing some stuff, some charity events and putting some stuff together, getting more fighters to come in, and maybe something happening from them too, man. So it turned out really awesome.
Yeah, and that's why I love the fight community. The fight community is fucking awesome. And I'm like, have you ever seen that movie Ratatouille with Pixar? Anybody can cook. I'm the same concept with mixed martial arts. I think anybody can fight. And the fact that the gentleman is in a wheelchair, and it's not his fault he's in a wheelchair, you know, just life happens. And, you know, you're born with it, or, you know, something happens. But I firmly believe that anybody can fight. You know, just put on some gloves, let him go at it, let him be a man, let him do his thing. And, you know, I love how the fight community circles around these great folks, these brave, brave individuals, and let them go out there and fulfill their dreams. And let them be a man. Let them be a fighter that they are. They have the fighter inside. It doesn't matter what's outside. It doesn't matter, like, if they're a wheelchair, if they have Down syndrome, if there's something wrong with them. One guy with one arm, he fought in the main event of the last card for ECF that I was commentating for. He knocked the guy out, and the guy was severely underestimating him. And
so Nick Newell's got one hand. Nick Newell was told the same thing. Dana White said he would never. Nick Newell signed with Bellator. We fought on XFC together. He's beat the hell out of people, man. And not Mick Maynard. Chris, is it Chris Maynard? There's a Maynard kid here in Georgia. No arms, no leg. Look, he climbed a mountain. He fought MMA fights. If you type in no arms, no leg Maynard, God, what's his first name? I mean, I just believe in this stuff, dude. People don't know this about me, but I have an adrenal gland disorder and extremely ADHD. I had special classes when I was a kid. Mixed martial arts was what made me feel able to talk to people. I used to not be able to super hyper even at 37 years old. I talk 100 miles an hour. The energy that I'm given in that cage is not a fake. It's like that's me going, trying to get it out. I stim. So for me, it's a special, it's even special close to my heart because some people consider ADHD and the things that I have and my inability to pay attention to mental disability. I'm married to my wife. She's in my corner. She's a first grade teacher. And when we first met 12 years ago, I used to fall for the whole ADHD thing and think I couldn't concentrate. She said, you know, everything. What I like about every disability in the world is the ability inside of it. And everybody, every disability has ability. And that's the main word you should focus on. And for me, being able to do stuff like that and just letting everybody find their ability. Bruce Lee even said it, man, don't be the glass, be the water. Don't let everybody turn you into the best version of them. That's not a coach. A coach should just make you the best version of yourself. No matter what your ability is, you can maximize that and live life to the fullest, dude.
And Brian Holstein says, looking forward to Mina in Plant City on the 16th.
Man, me too, bro. I'm coming down. I'll be down Friday about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, awesome. And I got diagnosed with the same thing in the eighth grade. I mean, it's not a bad thing. And we found a home and we found a place. MMA community, always acceptable. Put on some gloves. Let's fight one another and fucking drink a beer afterwards. So we found a home, which is the best part. But I got a question for you before we wrap this up. So, there he is.
What's going on, fellas?
What's How up, you bro? Doing?
We got one more question for Joe, and then we'll get on with Nate here.
Awesome. What's one more question? Yeah, that's a question.
Hold on. I can't hear you guys.
I was having the same problem earlier.
I had to get into the hotel quick. What was the question?
Matt, what's the question?
No, I was letting you ask.
Okay. So the matchmaker is right here. So if you could fight anybody right now, the matchmaker is right here. The boss is right here. Who would you want to fight in your next fight?
Nate knows. So we've already talked about it. I told you I want big names, man. I've already knocked out
UFC veteran, Contender Series veteran. I'm waiting for the rankings to come out from Scott Burr, but I want I want fucking Dave the Caveman Rickles or Leonard Garcia. I want the 165 title, so I've already beat two of the guys that should be in the tournament. Nate, you know what I want. Like, whoever. I don't care, man. Tell Nate, I'll fight a duck. I'll fight a bum. I'll fight anybody, dude. If they want me to knock somebody out, tell them to send a quacker over here. I'll fight them, man. I just want money. I'm just ready to fight.
What do you think about that, Matchmaker?
I don't know. So Joe and I spoke about this in length, and he knows what he needs to do. We put him in front of him, and he's never turned down a fight. Everyone I've offered him, he said yes. It wasn't a question about it. He wants tougher fights. We started off with Will because we thought that was going to be a real war. Joe went in there and does what Joe does, and he knocked out a guy who is a 119 pro fight veteran. Like, he did not come in and get an easy fight his first fight.
Never been knocked out in the first round either.
Yeah. So after that, you know, we looked at other options because, again, you know, my job is to put on the most exciting fights for the fans. And Tom Schoaf is a fan favorite. He goes in there and he is very durable. He's very skilled. And he went in there and he fought his fight. And at the end of the day, and again, this is against Joe. Tom was in there landing punches, but Joe hits hard. And Joe went in there when he was connecting clean. He showed that he can put people down at 165 with one clean punch. And it happened over and over again. So moving forward, I think what makes the most sense is him fighting someone else who has a little bit more experience. And that gets him in line for a 165-pound title fight. Or we start off the tournament and we see what he can do.
What's Leonard? I want to know what you think about Leonard, man. What's he going to do? I tried to get a response. Is he going to answer? Or is like, do I got to like call his house or?
I mean, look, Leonard Garcia is another fighter that everyone we've ever offered him, he's taken the fight.
Let's go.
If he's looking to continue fighting in bare knuckle, I think that's a fight that makes sense. And I don't see him saying.
Did you see on the thing where Dave, the caveman, he did say he would take the fight? The only comment when y'all said, who do y'all want to see him fight next? Dave did say, I'm here.
Hey, look. Talking to Dave Rickles, when we brought him on, he's a seasoned mixed martial artist. He's fought, I don't know how many times in Bellator, but the guy, when we talked about opponents for his March fight, again, like, he's not backing down from fights. So let's see how he does in his fight this coming weekend. And if he comes out victorious, then maybe that's a match that we make to start off the tournament.
Who's Dave fighting?
Cliff Wright Jr., another Bellator veteran.
Awesome. And when is that?
This Saturday.
This Saturday? Oh, so this coming weekend down for Toe the Line.
Yeah, no. So, this coming Saturday, BKFC 13, Salina, Kansas.
Oh, for the title.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, well, I'm flying down, by the way, for Toe the Line. Daniel Gray, one of my teammates, is cornering Will Chope, and I'm coming to corner Harrison. So nice. We're actually, one of my sponsors is going to fly us down there Friday morning, and we're going to stay at the Harbor.
I'll see y'all down there, too.
Fights and stuff, so I'll be at Toe the Line as well.
So, yeah, we have a ton of fighters at 165 pounds that are true warriors. There are some fighters that I've talked to in the past where you offer them a fight and they like, no, I'd rather have this guy. I'd rather have, you know, that person. But our 165-pound division isn't like that. And we have some very tough, seasoned combat athletes who have now transitioned over to bare-knuckle fighting, and they know what it takes when we ask them to toe the line. And none of them so far have said, no, I don't want to fight this person or that person. So in a perfect world, we would have a Leonard Garcia, Dave Rickles, Joe Elmore in this tournament-style setup. And there's other 155ers who would step up. There's some people who fight at 175 who can cut down to 165. And it can be a really exciting 8-man.
But I can fight 175 too, man. You know, I want the 165 title, but I fought Will Chope at 170. I walk around at 195. I honestly want the 165 title in my head. I want to defend it once, and then I want the 175 title. And be the Conor McGregor of this shit, except for crazier and tougher, is what I want. That's my goal. But look, but also, man, like I said, dude, if y'all just want to give me a fucking fight, dude, I'll fight my little brother up at 165, 175. I don't care. You know how I am, Bubba. I just want to fight, dude, and knock people out, get punched in the face.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a really busy end of 2020. We're already looking at venues and locations and possible headlines for early 2021. David sits down and he combs through all the talent that we have, and he figures out what's going to make the most sense and what location to headline these events. And then I go through and I do what I do to put the rest of the card together.
You pick it. I'll take it.
There you go. That makes my job easy.
Swear to God, I ain't kidding either.
All right, brother. All right, well, so, Joe, we're going to wrap this up. Talk to the matchmaker. But any last words, anywhere we can find you on Instagram, Facebook? Where can we find you, Joe?
Yeah, man, y'all, please add me on Instagram. It's JoeHitman187. If y'all didn't know, 187 is police code for murder in progress. So I'm JoeHitman187. Find me on IG. Jesse, ICanSparkman.com. Go on there, check him out, support him. We're trying to buy him a sports wheelchair. Like I said, Chris Wilmore from Street Beef is going to do that. And but we're also going to train, carry him to train in Vegas. He does TED Talks and to support that. Innovative Aquatics is one of my sponsors. Thanks to Russ Cassidy, he's going to fly us down on a private plane. He owns a landscaping business here in Georgia that sponsors me. Man, just thanks to all my fans. Thanks to Nate Shook for matching me up with Fight of the Night and Knockouts of the Night. Like I said, I'll keep fighting everybody. BKFC, David Philman, thanks for giving me a home and finally making a caveman sport that was built for me. My wife, literally my best friend, my corner woman, probably the only reason that Nate and his girl like me at all, because she makes everything easy. Yeah, man. Well, thanks to BKFC for standing up for America too, man. God bless America above all else right now. So hey, God
give
bless.
Me one America second, hey, my charger at 2%.
I did love all the patriotism at the event. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was nice to see some of that in the United States.
I actually got a recording of David Tillman in the back, and he said he ain't having none of that anti-America shit, and I appreciate that. So God bless America.
God bless America.
Yo, thanks for coming on, man. You're welcome on anytime.
This is a wonderful interview, always. Thank you.
All right. You're the man. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Y'all take it easy. I'm going to watch Nate and see what he's got to say. Y'all take it easy. Have a blessed night.
All right, bye.
Awesome. All right, hey, Nate Shook. It's all good, brother. Hey, the man with the best job in the house, Nate Shook. What's going on, brother? How you been?
Just really busy, guys. We just got finished with Toe Line 2 weeks ago, and now we're going to BKFC 13. We got Toe the Line 2 next week. We have tryouts we just announced for end of August. End of October down in Arizona. And then November 13th, we're working on BKFC 14. We're working on Toe the Line 3 in Kansas. And then Toe the Line 4 or BKFC in December. So it's just been swamped.
All right, so don't lie. Don't lie, sir. Who are you going to match up Paige Van Zandt with? Who? Tell us.
Surprise. So,
Paige Van Zandt is a main event fighter. Dave Feltman has always handled the main events. There are some names out there floating around. We do have some ideas about some other things that we'd like to do to find her opponent. So we'll know here in the next couple of weeks which direction we're going. But we're excited.
Is she going to have to work her way up, or is it going to go straight to the heavy hitters?
We'll see. We have some bigger name females that are interested in the fight, and we have some up-and-coming prospects that are interested in the fight. Dave's going back and forth with the plan, not as far as how he wants to do it, but how he wants to introduce possible opponents. So we sat down, we ran through some names, but at the end of the day, he's going to make the choice that makes the most sense for the company and makes the most entertaining of a fight.
Every single fight card is exciting with BKFC, and it all comes down to good matchmaking. So what's the secret sauce? So, like, how do you formulate these great fight cards? Like, what attributes do you look? How do you match them up? Like, tell us who's not in like, the fight matchmaking game. How do you do it? Every single card consistently.
Well, first, we have a phenomenal team. And one thing that a company needs is a team that can work together, find the right talent, and just be cohesive. Because matchmaking is not an easy thing. It comes down to Dave finding the headlining and sometimes the co-main events that he wants on the card. And then us knowing the right managers, gym owners, coaches, and fighters to get them on these cards. And just like Joe said, like we can't predict who's going to win and how it's going to go. So when we matched like Joe and Will Choke, I didn't know how that was going to go. I didn't think Will would knock Joe out, but I thought that he could beat him up with you know his length and cut him up and make it a difficult fight like Tom Schoaf did. But Joe proved that you know, he's tough, he's durable, he hits hard. So he goes in there and he was you know throwing his haymaker punches and he landed one. I think it was like 52 seconds.
Yeah.
So it was so when you're like how much is like politics, because you've mentioned before that there's some people that don't want to fight this. How much do you have to deal with politics, especially when it comes to matchmaking?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. So you mentioned before where, like, you'll try to match up one person against the other person. One, their manager will say, I don't want to fight that guy. I'd rather fight this guy. Like, how often or how difficult it is to get a deal done? Is there a lot of politics that go on with it? A lot of, like, money negotiation? Are you in charge of that? Or how often does problems arise when making that matchup happen?
It doesn't happen as much as in other combat sports I was involved with. We find that there are some fighters that come on over and they only want specific matches or only want to fight specific weights. But for the most part, the majority of the fighters, they'll fight who we put in front of them because they know it's an opportunity of a lifetime. If you look at some of these fighters, and Joe will tell you, the exposure he got fighting for BKFC is unparalleled. He fought mixed martial arts and other sports for a while prior to fighting bare knuckle. And bare knuckle changed his life when it came to sponsors and exposure. We have fighters who have fought before and have their fight streamed, and they might have a couple thousand views. Then you get a guy like Caleb Harris who goes out there, gets knockout of the year, and he has, you know, 5, 6, 7 million views. And I mean that it's a ton of exposure. So a lot of these fighters are seeing that, they want the opportunity. And let's face it, there's not a lot of promotions doing combat sports right now. So they feel like, hey, why not try this out? And that's why I'm getting 60 to 80 applications a day for people to come fight bare knuckle. And it's too much for me to sit there and go through all these applications, look them up, watch video. So we do these tryouts now monthly. And the tryouts give us the opportunity to see these fighters in person and see what they can do. And granted, they're wearing boxing gloves to hit the bags and hit the punch meter. But we get to see how they move. We get to see how hard they hit. We get to see how well they talk in front of the camera. And it kind of gives us an idea of how they'll perform when it comes to fighting. And the tryouts do allow us to utilize fighters quicker. This card this weekend, we have Cliff Wright, Kendrick Latchman, Brandon Johnson was at the tryouts, Rowdy Akers was at the tryouts. I believe there was, Doolittle was at the tryouts. So some of these fighters we might not have even considered prior to that, except for Johnson. Like Johnson was signed to a contract. He just kept coming to trials because he was so dedicated and wanted on the card so badly. But the rest of these guys, who knows if we would have put them on a card. But we saw them. I got to talk to them and meet them. And I found a place where they fit.
So you obviously have an eye for talent. And, you know, what I like most about BKFC is they embrace characters. Like, you know, when I saw Sheena Star walk out with Hillary Clinton's a cunt, you know, I was sold, you know? Like, I like the fact that, you know, BKFC embraces characters and, like, looking for stars. And, like, how do you identify the it factor? Because in every single sport, combat sports, any type of sport, there's got to be the it factor. But, like, how do you describe it as a matchmaker, of someone having that it factor?
So the big thing is with the interviews, we're lucky to have two great interviewers in Brian Socha and Sean Wheelock, our lead commentator. They know how and what questions to ask. that's a skill that I don't have, honestly. So when they sit down with these fighters, they're able to talk to them and pull the information out of them that's different and unique. So we are truly blessed to have both those members on our staff. But at the end of the day, you know, the fighting only gets you so far. You know, these men and women have to go in there and fight. And that Sheena t-shirt, I knew nothing about until she walked out. I mean, and by the time it was too late, like, she was walking, what was I going to do? Like, stop her, say, go get changed. You know, I have production in my ear, like, you know, send the next fighter, because we're on time. So I got, like, time markers. So I got production, like, send them. So I was like, whatever, like, I'll deal with it later. And
it is what it is.
Yeah. Going back, I wouldn't change it because it exposed us to a whole new group of fans. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't something I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, everyone, you know, grab a shirt and say something nasty about somebody. Because at the end of the day, no matter how other people feel about her, we try to keep the sport neutral. This isn't a place to come out here and express politics. We're an entertainment business. We're not a political platform. That. So we want people to tune in and watch the fights, to get away from all the politics, to get away from all the negativity they hear in the news. Because if you come to the event, it doesn't matter anyone's race or religion or their political affiliation, all this stuff, people are competing and they're enjoying the aspect of the purest combat sport. And we're the fastest growing sport in the world. And the one thing everyone can say is, besides the 9/11 tribute, which was, you know, to honor the men and women who gave their lives for this country. I mean, the police, the first responders, you know, we had a lot of people affected. You know, people died that day. And David thought it was important to show them and show the country that we support those men and women. But besides that, you don't see us coming out with our own personal views, because that's not what this is about. It's about entertaining the fans and growing the sport.
Absolutely. And that was one of the coolest shows I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. Besides UFC victory in Vegas after, you know, 2001, I saw Tito come out with the American flag and how patriotic it was. It's just a really cool show. And what David did and the tribute show was amazing. So I give you a lot of props for that. But, you know, I asked Dave the same question, because obviously you got to be a fight fan in order to get involved with your business and do it correctly. You're doing it correctly. But as a professional, how'd you get involved with BKFC? Considering it's a gamble, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions with BKFC. Obviously, in the beginning, there's going to be a lot of misconceptions. But as a fight professional, how'd you get involved with matchmaking and then taking a chance and taking a career gamble on BKFC, which obviously is a big career gamble if it didn't work out?
Absolutely. But I've known David since at least September 23rd, 2006. I matchmaked mixed martial arts for a family member of his. We did a show in Virginia. I met Dave 4 years later. I sat down with him and we talked business, because we were both promoters in Pennsylvania. The man has an incredible work ethic. He was a professional fighter. He loves the fighters. He loves combat sports. We ended up merging our mixed martial arts promotions together. He stayed as promoter. I became matchmaker. I love the matchmaker role. You don't see me at the fights in front of the camera. Like, he does a phenomenal job talking in front of the camera, interacting with the people. I prefer to stay in the back. So right now, like, I run backstage, or I deal with production, getting the fighters out there on time. Like, I don't get to watch the fights live most of the time, because I'm constantly working with other staff members, getting the fighters out there to make sure the show goes smoothly. So we go well together. And ever since 2010, we were doing mixed martial arts till I believe like 2014. And then in 2016, he looked at doing a show, and we had some issues with the sanctioning of it. And then in 2018, you know, he did the first ever legal, regulated, and sanctioned bare knuckle fighting event in history. And I was able to be there, and I wasn't the matchmaker for that show. I was running backstage. And the second show, he asked me if I'd like to match some fights. I said, absolutely. I love matchmaking. I got to do it, and he didn't think I was bad at it, so he let me do another one. And, you know, now we're here, you know, 10 shows later, and I'm dealing with some of the biggest, you know, combat sports personas in the world, and I'm getting to, you know, do a job that a lot of other people wish they had, and it's just another day in the office. And I have a great company I work for, because it comes back to the team. We have a great staff. We get to travel a lot. We have phenomenal fighters that compete for us. And when it's not fun, I'll stop. But as long as we have the team working the way they're working now, as long as the fighters are still fighting as hard as they do for us now, I don't see myself getting out of bare knuckle fighting. Like, I don't see myself ever going back to another combat sport. When bare knuckle fighting is done for me, that's it. I'll fully retire and move off into the sunset somewhere.
What was the process dealing with, because you explained talking to athletic commissions and getting it passed with athletic commissions. Why do you think it took so long for athletic commissions to get on the ball? Because, you know, let's just be honest here, because bare knuckle fighting is probably one of the most natural sports. I mean, it was going on in the 1800s and the early 1900s in Europe under the rules of Sabat. I mean, it's been going on forever. Bare knuckle fighting is one of the oldest combat sports in the world. Why do you think it took so long for athletic commissions to get their shit together and actually say, okay, this is a legitimate sport, we can sanction this? Why do you think it took them so long?
From the ones I spoke to, no one wanted to be first. Everyone told me, hey, Nate, when it gets, you know, when someone else does it, we'd love to be second. You know, we're right there. We love it, you know. But Dave had the idea, he had the concept, and he told people this is safer than other combat sports. But until he actually had Wyoming allow him to do it, he didn't have any, let's say, proof per se. It was just him saying it is based on the idea that a punch doesn't generate as much force as a knee or a kick. Now, you know, 12 fights in, about to be our 13th, he can say, here's the proof. We are safer. And even let's say we're not, let's take the argument out that we're safer. Let's say we're not more dangerous. If you look at it from that aspect, that we're not any more dangerous than any other combat sport, then how can athletic commissions not approve bare knuckle fighting? I mean, we say we're safer, but let's just say we're not any more dangerous. And then it's kind of hard for them to sit there and say, well, yeah, we're not going to approve it. Because at the end of the day, if you've ever been punched in the face, you know, would you rather get punched with a bare knuckle, or would you rather have someone grab you by the back of your head and smash their knee into your nose? Most of the time, you're going to say you'd rather be punched in the face. And most men I know growing up have been in a tussle, in a street fight, in a fight with their brother. Like, they've been punched before, so they know how it feels. And at the end of the day, we're the fastest growing sport in the world, and the stats show that, you know, we're safer than than the other combat sports out there. So I think we're going to see more commissions in 2021 get on board, because we're still doing shows. When other people aren't, we still are, and we're safer.
Are you trying to get into New York? What's the process, and how's it going getting bare knuckle sanctioned in New York?
So we have people on our staff that focus on getting it in front of different athletic commissions. David's on the phone a lot. We just had a conference with two other state athletic commissions to get it legalized. He has been in talks with some of the northeastern states. So that's his specialty. Like, I stick to matchmaking and trying to get him where I can in front of people. But at the end of the day, this was a sport that Dave dreamt up. And he can, you know, pitch better than anybody else. So he's going to stick with finding the athletic commissions he wants to pitch to and pitch it to them. But I'd love to do it in New York, and so would he.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to do a show in, say, Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. And I got to be front row seat to watch that, because I'll be very excited you guys can get in New York City. I mean, that's the mecca of the fight business, of the fight game. I mean, you guys got to get in New York. Hopefully come to New Jersey too. I mean, that's got to be the goal, right? Top goal, what do you say?
Meh.
Yeah, I would say New York.
Yeah, we'd love to do it. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, when people think of combat sports, they think of Las Vegas. They think of Madison Square Garden. Right. For me, I'd rather be in Madison Square Garden. And that's just a personal opinion. I'm not going to sit here and say it's bigger, it's better statistically. I'm saying, as a person, I'd rather match make a card in Madison Square Garden. and that would complete my career. I think that would be the high point of combat sports for me.
Just stay in Florida. That's all I got to say.
Now, if you can match up anybody, like you look at the talent pool in both MMA, boxing, anybody. Because I got really excited when Dave Feldman said he was about to drop millions to bring in Mike Tyson, which I'm sure gave you a heart attack too. Because if you're a fight fan, you got to be a fan of fucking Mike Tyson. But like from a matchmaker perspective, dream fights. Hey, what fights
hold do you guys on, let me yell at these people because now they're just getting loud and obnoxious. Give me one second. Hey.
Hey, about to yell at people.
You know, keep it down a little bit. Thank you. Sorry.
Where are you at?
I just got to our hotel because we've been running around. I'm gonna go back in here.
Are you just yelling at strangers?
they're being loud. I'm trying to. This is important. All right, so we'll do this.
Damn straight.
Dave Feldman will sign Mike Tyson. I got really excited about that. Unfortunately, it fell through, but. From a fan perspective, what matches, if you can bring people from UFC, boxing, all these different sports, what fights do you want to make as a matchmaker? Like, dream fight you would want to make?
For active fighters, right now, there's so many out there, and I'm not sure who's under what contracts, and you know, there's legal things and saying some stuff. So there's a lot of exciting matches that can be made, and right now we're focused on the fighters we have because this COVID, it hurt, you know, the fight business. We had the show in March get postponed. The show in April got canceled. The show in May got postponed. The show in June got postponed. We came back July 24th, did a show in July. Right now we have a pool, like 253, I think it is, fighters that we really want to focus on and get them active. We could sign new fighters every day, but at the end of the day, it's if we do 10 shows a year and each card has 10 fights on it, it's only 20 fighters per card. It's only 200 fighters possible per year. So I rather sit here and focus on the fighters that have committed to us, have signed with us, and have been waiting to get on the card. Like I just saw Brian on there. Like I'd love to get Brian on the card. There's some great boxers out there that want to transition over. There's some you know, legends in MMA, some UFC veterans. We have some former world champ boxers. Until, you know, I'd say maybe mid-2021, me personally, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, there's people I'm going after. My goal is to get those that are already signed with us active and fighting and get these tournaments set up for the weight classes we want to do champions. And I'll let David deal with the big names he wants to bring in. There's rumors circulating around about fighters we were talking to or allegedly signed. And if you don't hear it from the company, then, you know, maybe it was released too soon or it's not happening or whatever it is. But Dave focuses on the big name, going after the big deals. I take the fighters that we have under contract and I make the best fights I can.
Awesome. So one last question.
We did get trolled by Instagram. On the whole, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz fight?
Yeah.
And I fell for it, I got to admit. And then I was like, oh, no, that's fake.
So, and I don't know where that parody account came from. It's been reported several times. I don't know how those things stay in business. But again, if it tells people it's parody and it's free speech, you know, our people, you know, our company is going to shut it down. Again, like I tell people, follow the BKFC official Facebook and Instagram, you know, follow me on Instagram and you don't have to worry about fake news then.
So what you're saying is we can confirm
all news is good news.
Did not make Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Bob Sapp happen. Correct.
No, that's not a fight that I've even heard about.
Fair enough.
Look, Bob Sapp would be, you know, he's someone 10 years ago I watched fight. And that's just an athlete that's, you know, larger than life. I mean, having him in the squared circle would be entertaining, you know, at least. So if Bob Sapp watches this and he wants to fight, hit up Dave because, you know, maybe he can make it happen for him.
I want to see the executives of these fight circuits fighting more. That's what I want to see.
Oh, yeah. That'd be pretty neat.
So one last question before we let you go. So where do you see the sport, where do you see it going in 2021, 2022? What's the trajectory? What's the game plan? What do you guys have planned and cooked up for 2021 and 2022? Obviously, because 2020 is a wash.
Yeah, well, 2021, I'd expect to see 10 to 12 BKFC events minimum. I'd also expect to see 2 to 3 more large signings. For Toe the Line, and we even touch on Toe the Line, but for the Toe the Line Fight Series, I'm working with 6 promoters across the country where Bare Knuckle's currently sanctioned or legalized and regulated. And we'll see probably 10 to 12 Bare Knuckle fights under the Toe the Line banner in Kansas, Mississippi, Florida, Wyoming, Alabama. I expect to see more promoters get on to Toe the Line. And yeah, I mean,
2022. On Toe the Line, do you have somebody else that's doing the matchmaking there, or is that all you too?
So I have my hand in it.
Okay.
The way it works is the promoters have to utilize the fighters that sign with Toe the Line. Toe the Line is not a promotion. It's a company that has an agreement with the BKTV streaming service. And the agreement is that I'll find local promotions and regional promoters to produce combat bare knuckle fighting events, and it'll be streamed exclusively on the BKTV app. So I am not the promoter of those shows. I do offer assistance in matchmaking. We do sign fighters. We do bring on sponsors. We bring in the commentating team of Sean Wheelock and Joe Warren, which is a phenomenal team together. We bring in announcers a lot of times. I coordinate with lighting companies. And I just assist them in making their product better and streaming it to the masses to grow the sport of bare knuckle fighting. Because at the end of the day, BKFC right now is the only active bare knuckle promotion I know of. So the Toe the Line Fight Series helps grow these smaller promotions into something a little bit bigger. And then it allows me and David to see the talent at the lower levels and decide if we want to bring them onto the bigger stage, because it's a different ballgame. When you step inside that squared circle and have all those lights and you know that millions of people are going to see your fight, it's not like fighting, you know, at your local club. So expect, you know, kind of recap it. 2021, 10 to 12 fights from BKFC, 10 to 12 shows at least from Toe the Line. 2022, I definitely expect to be abroad again with BKFC. Hopefully UK, Thailand, maybe somewhere in the Southeast, Mexico again, maybe Canada. And I would be shocked if we're not doing 30 to 35 shows a year between BKFC and Toe the Line. And I might be shooting low there. I mean, we are postured to do 40, 45 events a year come 2022. And that's not exaggerating. We literally have everything in place where we could do that, because we anticipate 7 other states opening up in 2021 and then another 3 to 4 minimum in 2022. And that's just the ones that we've been talking to. So people might see our sport and say, hey, we need revenue. Let's get them in here, because we're putting people in seats. We're bringing TV deals to the table. We're not, you know, a local or regional promotion. This is the largest bare knuckle fighting organization in the world, bar none.
You got a great product. You're a part of a great sport. You guys are innovators of the sport. You guys brought essentially a sport that was dead, bare knuckle, and you brought it back to the forefront. And it all starts with you, and it all starts with David. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate you guys introducing the world to bare knuckle fighting again. And thank you very much. Anybody want to shout out any Instagram accounts where we can follow you that doesn't say that they're booking Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell? Tell us where we can follow you, brother.
Yeah, so thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Sorry I was a little bit late. We have a lot going on today. It's fight week. But for those that want to follow us, BKFC_matchmaker to follow me. Also, Toe the Line Fight Series to get all your news about Toe the Line. You can also follow the BKFC official Instagram and Facebook pages. Follow us on YouTube. You can watch a lot of the fights there. And then just quickly, we have 2 major sponsors that have been phenomenal to us. So I always like to say thank you to them. We have Tiger Life Energy Drink. If you love energy drinks, it's a very clean energy drink. It's amazing.
It's awesome. One.
Yeah, it's a delicious drink. I'm not just saying it because they're a sponsor. Pick it up at your local convenience store and try it and tell me if I'm lying.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I taste it. It's great.
Yeah, I was just drinking one right before I'm in here. That's probably why I'm a little bit wired up. And then Fusion CBD Products, they've been with us for a while as well. So I just want to say thank you to them. They've been true supporters of not only the BKFC events, but also like the press conferences and Total Line Fight Series. And Tiger Life has been a part of Total Line as well. So thank you to them. Thank you to my team and everyone that helps us out here. We have a huge show this weekend. People can watch it by downloading the app in the App Store or going to bktvapp.com. It's only $3.99 a month. Yeah, you know the cheesy slogan where it's less than a cup of coffee. You can watch bare knuckle fighting, one or two events live, plus shoulder content, tryouts, and all this other stuff right on the app or stream it at the website. And we have a huge card this Saturday with our heavyweight world title on the line. Nico Hernandez fighting on the card, Olympic medalist Dave Rickles, and six other really entertaining fights that I'm excited for. You might not have heard of their names now, but I promise that after this weekend, at least two of these men will be shining, and you'll see them on, with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views because of their performance this weekend.
Yeah, I'm absolutely positive it's going to be an incredible card because you made it, and with consistency, you have been spot on every single fight card. Every fight card is better than the last, and I thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing some of your knowledge and dropping knowledge on all of us who are fans of
BKFC. And if you have anything you want to announce, don't hesitate. You got my information. Give me a contact. We'll get you
absolutely
on.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much because, matchmaking and fight promotions, if you talk to people, it's a thankless job. We pretty much get yelled at about stuff. So we come out here and, like I said, we try our best every show. We love what we do. That's why we're so passionate about it. If we didn't love it, trust me, we'd be doing something else. But thank you both for having me on. I look forward to it. And let's do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you very much.
See you down there in Florida.
All right. Thank you guys. See ya.
Have a good one. I love fucking talking to him. We had two great guests tonight. Holy shit.
Yeah. I think that was a great show.
And so. Minimum production errors. Holy minimum production. Shit.
I need to work out pulling the call in. I mean, I had him on my thing. I couldn't get him back into the system so we could all hear it. But I think we're two steps away from actually being able to have. And as soon as I put that banner up there to call in, they were calling in. So I'm super stoked to be able to talk to our fans and let them talk to the guests that we have. So it'll be big here in a few minutes.
Well done, brother. And that's what she said. Did you get that?
No.
No, fuck me. Come on, man. That was the perfect moment.
There's no room for that here on the show.
God damn it. All right, so what do you have in store for next week, sir?
I think there might be a guy. Let me see here. I believe.
What do you believe?
You would put me on the spot. I want to make sure because I've been getting my dates mixed up.
I had the same problem in high school, Ben.
So Thursday. Yes. Okay, I want to make sure. You know, we have 8:30. We'll be having Mike Rodriguez on. He's the one with the fake dick pic.
Oh yeah.
So. He'll be on talking about that fight and what a shame he lost that one due to the comeback in it from that call.
Because it was fucking bullshit.
It was shitty because he was pounding it the whole time. And then some other guy I've never heard of, Don Fry
is coming on. Bullshit. Fuck you.
Yep. Really? Yep. We had some mix-up, a couple weeks ago. I was talking to Don about coming on, and then his manager didn't realize it, so we got it all squared away, and he'll be back on Thursday at 9 o'clock.
one of my childhood heroes, Don Fry. Yeah. Can't wait to talk to him. That's going to be a great show.
It will be. I'm going to mispronounce his name. On Wednesday, though, David Dvorak.
Dvorak.
I think he's from Yugoslavia, I believe. Ukraine or Yugoslavia. Anyway, he just had his UFC win. So that's for the girls' show. So
very exciting. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So let me wrap this up like a condom. Thank you very much, boys and girls. Production Matt, do you have anything else to say?
No, not really.
Well, I have something to say, sir. So everybody, I know everything's crazy now this time. It's election 2020, but turn your brains off. Come on the podcast. You know, have a good time. Comment. We love to hear from you guys. We love all these great guests that are coming on to share their knowledge about the sport. And tune in every Wednesday, every Thursday. And if you're not allergic to parties, you know, download the app by Mixer TV. Go on Roku, Apple TV, illegal streaming. I don't give a shit. I must be constipated. But watch the Fight Mixer app. It's good times. And tune in every Wednesday and Thursday for some good vibes, good times, and talking about the sport that we all love, mixed martial arts, bare knuckle fighting, boxing, kickboxing. Maybe I'll drop some knitting. I don't know. I'm kind of getting into it. Just kidding. But tune in every Wednesday and Thursday for a good time and great guests and good hosts like me, Matt, Gabe, and hopefully Justin. Somewhere on the horizon, he'll come back on the show. I love my buddy. I love my buddy. But boys and girls, bros and hoes in different area codes, thank you very much for tuning into the Fight Mixer. We will see you next week. Peace out, Cub Scouts. See you on the next round.
Deuces.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.